You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dante, if I really knew you would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome, everybody, to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges, your host. Katie Whalen is back from her adventure in Texas, and she'll be joining me for the full 3 hours, and we'll be bringing you a combination of health news and news in the third hour, of which Katie will play the dominant part for. Now, those of you who are tuning in expecting to hear Steve Quayle, unfortunately, Steve is taken ill, and his symptoms sound identical to what I was having at the height of my illness. So we're going to reschedule Steve for sometime in April. We wish him well. Hope he recovers very quickly. And speaking of Steve, he is one of our sponsors for this first hour. And as the economy's news continues to worsen, I heard from Joseph Meyer, famed economist, early in the week last week, and the economic indicators from the real side of the reporting, not MSNBC, BS, but the real side, they're telling us that the numbers are really, really bad. And I would encourage you to do what I've done, and what I'm preparing to do again, is I'm trading out my soon-to-be worthless cash, my bailed-in cash, my confiscated cash, and I'm buying gold and silver. I've bought gold and silver, and it looks like we're coming up on another decision here, and it looks like we're going to duplicate that decision. So how can you be a part of that? How can you do what Dave Hodges and so many of my friends have done? Well, just give Steve a call tomorrow, or one of his people will answer if he's still under the weather. And Steve's number is 406-586-4842. Again, that's Renaissance Precious Metals, 406-586-4842. And one of our other sponsors here in the first hour is ReadyMadeResources.com with my good friend Bob Griswold. And you're going to want to write this number down. I'll give it to you again at the end. 1-800-627-3809. Again, that's 800-627-3809. And Bob still has a few of those discounted night vision PVS 14 glasses available, and you really want night vision. Trust me. If you need to bug out at night, you can drive away without your headlights on. You got night vision, you're going to be just fine. If you're doing a search and rescue, you're going to want to have the night vision. If you want to know where the bad guy is before they know where you are, you're going to want to have the night vision. And Bob was able to come across a few units on consignment, and he's got just a few left. And we talked about that last week, and he's offering a one-week money-back guarantee if you're not satisfied. He has a whole host of survival resources at readymaderesources.com, and I'd encourage you to go up there after the show, readymaderesources.com, and then give Bob a call tomorrow at 1-800-627-3809, and also ask him about their Mountain House food, which is 25% off. Make sure you mention Dave Hodges sent you, and you will be in line for that Mountain House food discount. And then I want to welcome a new sponsor, and this is something I've wanted to have for a long time. And folks, let me just take a second here before we join our first guest. But let me just take a second and tell you that we've tried to offer products here with regard to our sponsors that are stuff that you're going to need in the coming economic collapse. And one of our missing elements that we have had is we haven't had anything that we've had for sale with regard to the gun industry. We've told you need to have food, you need to have water, we can get a water filter from readymaderesources.com, the best in the business. You need to have precious metals for the aftermath when the smoke clears. What are you going to bargain with? What are you going to buy with? But we haven't had anything with guns until now. We have some gun accessories, and we are really, really pleased to offer or to introduce our new sponsor, Josh Hudson from Desert Empire Trading Company. And Josh has a great deal right now on AR-15s, the T-Mag 40 rounds, and they're about as close to automatic as you legally can get. Notice the key word there is legal. And I would encourage you to go to the website, DETCtactical.com/Hodges, and he's got everything marked down. And if you just use my last name, Hodges, as the code, you'll get 5% off everything that Josh has in stock. And again, that's DETCtactical.com and /Hodges for a 5% discount if you use the discount word Hodges. Okay, with that out of the way, and with our full repertoire of sponsors mentioned and in the books, we're pleased to be joined by Joshua Coy, one of the up-and-coming stars in the broadcast industry, a great research investigator on his own. He knows these issues, and like Joe Hagman, you know, he's considerably under the age of 40, which makes him an extremely valuable resource for the future, because I'm glad to know that my son's generation will have younger voices speaking for them in the days after Steve Quayle, Dave Hodges, Doug Hagman, John B. Wells. All our good friends are gone, and we've said our goodbyes to this planet. We're going to leave behind, we think, a pretty competent group if we can pull in more people like Joe Hagman and Joshua Coy. And we're going to kind of be all over the map here with Josh, who agreed at the last minute to fill in for Steve when Steve became so deathly ill. And we're not going to disappoint. Josh and I have been talking quite a bit in the last 2 weeks about some very, very critical issues. And as a consequence, we're going to cover most of these issues tonight. And it's stuff that's going to make you sit on the edge of your seat. It's stuff that's going to curl your toes. And I can't promise you're not going to lose a little bit of sleep, because it greatly bothers me. Josh, welcome to the show. And thanks for coming on such late notice.
Yeah, Dave, sure. Anytime, man. And thanks for the incredible introduction, as always. You always build me up, and I'm like, oh, great, now I've got to swing the bat and hit the ball out of the park for you. Thanks a lot for that.
Yeah, I don't think you have any trouble with that. Yeah, I should mention this. Josh has his own show on WYDE FM in Alabama. It's the largest station in Alabama in terms of broadcast power. You cover 4 states, am I right, Josh?
Yeah, we can be heard in parts of all 4, the surrounding 4 states, and it's a great station. It really is one of the few stations that are they try as hard as they can to take the mainstream media news and dig a little bit further into stuff and in today's mainstream media world, and that's hard to stick to. So yeah, they're a very good source of information for people.
Well, Josh, let's start where everyone's mind is at right now. And that's on the nomination process. Not too much mystery about what's going on over in the Democratic Party. It's just maybe trying to do a lottery on when Bernie Sanders is going to hang it up and call it quits. But on the Republican side, this race should already be over. Everybody should be coalescing and backing Trump so he could skunk Hillary Clinton in the fall. But it's not turning out that way. Where's your mind at on what's going on with the election?
Well, I would say probably at the beginning of the month, it was in a completely different place. And what's happened just in the last couple of weeks with all the quote riots and all the you know, you've had so many in your own state, all the demonstrations, all the just an absolute insanity that goes along with it. But I don't know why. I've never in my life seen the elite absolutely come out in a blatant way and say, yep, it's all controlled, every bit of it is controlled, everything we do is controlled, and we're the ones who control it. And this guy doesn't fit into our plan, so we don't care what you think anymore. The majority of the people don't get their news from the mainstream media. You now know that. The majority of the people now get their news from the alternative media. The mainstream media has lied to them for too long, so they're still trying to hang on to that. But the elite now they've come out, and it's just like, all right, we're going to do everything we possibly can, not even everything we can do on the down low, trying to do things from the back door. No, they don't even care anymore. They don't even care anymore. And that, to me, signals it pings in my political radar, where I say, okay, there's got to be something here. There's got to be a reason why the Council on Foreign Relations has split their money between Ted Cruz and Hillary Clinton. And every time they've tried to have a meeting with Donald Trump, he completely turns them down. There's got to be something there. And I know you've done your homework. I've done mine. I don't know, man. I tell my own listeners, I don't know where this is going to go because it changes from week to week.
It is amazing. It does change. This is an ever-evolving landscape, but there's patterns that are beginning to form. Let me put a disclaimer out there. There is no question when Tuesday rolls around here in Arizona and we have our primary that I am checking Donald Trump's name. But I want to make it really clear as well that I am, at this point in time, because my trust level is low for anyone at this level, I am voting for the movement and the evolving spiritual forces coming out of this movement, which we'll talk about before we leave the air tonight. I am not necessarily voting for Donald at this point, because I can't discount the fact that given his prior relationship with the Clintons, that he's not the monkey wrench thrown into the Republican Party that will throw them into such disarray that even a criminal and a murderer like Hillary Clinton, and I should mention traitor too, can't walk away with the election. Now, I don't think that's the case, because right now, to play along with this game, you'd have to have too many people jumping in against Trump. And the numbers that are lining up against him are the people that don't want to lose money on the free trade agreements, et cetera, et cetera. They want the status quo. So basically, this is boiling down to the corporate-controlled media, the corporations who have fermented the free trade agreements, the unfair tax policies, the bribery of political officials through campaign donations, blah, blah, blah. It's them versus the middle class of America and perhaps Donald Trump. How do you see it, Josh?
I honestly believe that they, you know, you and I talked about this off the air, that we don't think we'll even make it to an election. And I didn't think we would make it this far. A lot of people are now beginning to say it's very clear just from the mainstream media's coverage, somebody's paying for this. I mean, that airtime isn't cheap. You know, even though it's the news, it's not airtime. No, it's airtime. Somebody's paying for that. Somebody's paying for these people to be put together. Somebody's funding this. And when you dig and you find out who it is, it's, of course, it's, you know, the Soros group, it's CFR, it's all the groups that are constantly behind everything. But you see the amount of money put into it. I mean, just the money alone. I really think that a lot of people are beginning to say, if they can't stop it this way, they'll try another way. Well, but that didn't work. So now they're going to try this riot thing as a way to kind of springboard into a race war, which is so what they want. We've all been looking for the event that will occur that will allow them to stop an election. We've talked about this. You know, most people have felt since this election process started, this circus of lies that the election is, most people have felt that it won't make it to November. We might not even make it to a convention. What does that mean? It means that if 9/11 happened the day before a presidential election, let's say the towers come down the day before the presidential election, do you think we would have the election the next day? Of course we wouldn't. What would they do? They would, quote, postpone that election. The event that's taken place is shaking the American people down to their core, and we can't deal with partisan politics right now. We've all got to come together against this one enemy, and in order to do that, we can't. We've got to pull back on this obviously important, incredibly important election, but we'll get back to it. Don't worry. So from here on out, Obama will tell us when we're going to have the election, but don't worry, we'll get back to it. And these are the whirlwind, man, the tornado of events that are swirling all around us. Look at what, you know, you can tie this into Scalia's murder. You know, Justice Scalia dying right before a presidential election. Gee, that's interesting. That sure does open up a lot of spots for them to absolutely control the Supreme Court, which is completely unconstitutional in and of itself. But point being, I don't think even the best political expert can guess where this is going to go and say that they know what's going to happen. It's an insane time. It's an interesting time, but it's an insane time, Dave.
There are a lot of different avenues that branch out from the main road that we're on right now, with many possibilities. There's no question about that. I think the stop the election mode will occur after September. I mean, if you could tell the criminal elite right now that Hillary Clinton's going to be the president in November, I don't think that they would necessarily stop the elections. But I don't think they can be assured of that. I mean, certainly as long as there's a Loretta Lynch mob and Obama the traitor in their offices, Hillary's not going to be
invited. That's pretty good. I haven't heard that one yet. Loretta Lynch mob. That's pretty good. For those
who
don't know,
we got to credit Steve Quayle coined that on the show.
Attorney General. That's good stuff.
But I have to tell you that I don't think that Hillary's going to be indicted. She's safe from that point of view. But she's so unpopular. Don't believe these polls that you see, because I don't think she could beat a Republican dog catcher right now with what's coming out on her, even with the Diebolds on her side. But if you can, let me give you a couple possibilities. I'm just going to throw them out to you. Some of this stuff is on the wild side. But it occurred to me as I was having a moment of silence and contemplating my own soul and praying and so forth, that a thought popped into my head that the Republican convention could be the next 9/11. And if you take enough of them out, and if you can blame the wrong people, domestic terrorists. It's those crazy Trump supporters. As Trump and Cruz and some of the others lie dead among the ashes, then they would have the omnipresent excuse to roll out martial law and to take over. And then you wouldn't need an election because Obama would never leave office. And then Hillary could go back to her criminal ways inside the Obama administration. And that thought occurred to me very clearly. And I have to tell you, I've not written about this explicitly, Josh, but I can't shake this thought that that's a real possibility. What do you think?
Well, a lot of people are beginning to point to the idea that, and you've even heard this on shows like Sean Hannity's, the mainstream media-controlled show, mentioning that Trump may not make it to the convention, and when they make these little comments, they drop them here and there. They're dropping these comments for a reason. That, well, you know, an article came out the other day, and the title of the article, it was a huge economic magazine article that came out, an economic news website. Basically, all they do is talk about the economics of the political spectrum. They never touch stuff like this. But they had an article that came out, and the title of it was, "Does a JFK Moment Await Donald Trump?" Mm-hmm. And when I read it, I kind of typed that into Google, thinking, I want to see how many articles have been written with this title, in you know, any type of credible media, any type of credible alternative media. Who's writing about this? Is it being written about? I got so many hits, it blew me away. Just the amount of people who are thinking the same thing. When you see the mainstream media, and you know, when we think mainstream media, what we think of is the Fox News or CNN, like you were saying, MSNBC, which nobody watches. And I don't even know how they keep the air conditioning going in that place. I have no idea how that place stays open, other than Soros' money. But that's what we think of, mainstream media. Media is more than that. Media is, and you know this, media is everything. Media is music. Media is, you know, television. It's every channel on the television. Media is radio. So
media is us too, Josh. Don't forget, media is us.
Well, I like to say we're the alternative media. We're and you know, we're not the quote mainstream media.
Do you know why I'm rejecting that term now? You know why I'm rejecting the term alternative? Now let me tell you why. Right now, Donald Trump and his movement has awakened millions of people, as I like to say, are caring less about NFL free agents and more about free trade agreements. And this is becoming part of our vernacular. People who've never voted are coming out to political rallies. he's awakened a sleeping giant with his movement. And I think that we are getting, we're the beneficiary of people coming to us. I have people writing to me emails, and they're defending Cruz and Rubio and so forth, but they're paying attention.
Yeah.
We're getting people right out of the mainstream that think that CNN and Fox have never told a lie in their life. And this is why I call us the independent media as opposed to the alternative. We are now mainstream. Our numbers are showing we are mainstream media. And let me just share this thought with you. I ventured out into regular AM radio, and in some fairly sizable markets on some 50,000 watt stations, and I should have been happy as a pig. I was paying five times more, and I really had to scramble to get the advertising, but I was paying five times more, six times more in some cases, to get that market share of audience. And the live listeners in those markets were less than what I get where I'm presently at here on Global Star Radio Network.
Yeah, you're right.
And I just said, I'm wasting my time. Radio, AM radio, Fox, CNN, they're dead. They're dead. 60% of the people under the age of 40 get all their news from the mainstream.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
I have an idea. I'm listening to the two of you, and I'm thinking, okay, we're always talking about predictive programming. Why is that coined and owned by the elite? Why don't we start using our own predictive programming? And we are now called the new mainstream media. And if that goes out enough and long enough, you keep hitting the hammer, it's eventually going to click.
Well, Josh and I are going to say no because I didn't think of it.
That's true. That's true. that alone made me immediately go, that's not for me.
If you put mainstream next to Dave Hodges' name, I got to act like him. So, you know, if it's not invented here, then it doesn't exist.
It's the new.
And oh, by the way, Josh, I want to take credit where credit's due. I wrote about the possible assassination of Donald Trump early in this campaign. Early. And I put on there pictures of King, Bobby, and John Kennedy. That was me. And what I said in the articles that I've written, it's not Trump they're afraid of. They're afraid of these ideas getting out in the open. They know now that probably somewhere around 20 million people in this country understand what a free trade agreement and how what it is and how the people are getting screwed, where they didn't know this before. I was jumping up. My wife brought this up the other day. She said, "You were talking about this when NAFTA passed." And I said, it's simple. You read four sentences, you know we're getting screwed. But it's kind of taken the country 20 years to wake up, except for the hardcore people like ourselves and many of the people who listen to us. We are now, I like that, Katie, the new mainstream media. I'm glad Josh and I thought about it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for that. I'll be happy to take credit for that. I honestly think that, and so many people now do get their they don't go to Fox News or whatever, but a lot of people who still do, they're beginning to venture out, and it's always local radio. You know, the first job I ever had in radio, I worked at an AM talk radio station that it was 50,000 watts, and I had a 1 hour show on a Tuesday and a Thursday afternoon, and that was my first, you know, you're live on the air, go. And I loved it immediately, but it was the amount of live listeners that I'm going, you know, we got 50,000 watts here, and the live listeners, it's just not here anymore. Where it is, it's in that, quote, independent media. That's where it is, and that's where the people are going now to get their information. And you can't really blame them because they've been lied to so many times by those Fox News organizations. And they're all run and operated by these people. But what's so amazing about the Trump thing is that you've got people who never thought to themselves, I wonder who is controlling this. I wonder who's actually paying for this. They would just watch the news, and that'd be the ball game, and then they'd go to bed. They would never actually think, what's that story about? Where's that coming? That's what this guy's making people do. And I think that just like Bobby Kennedy, just like John F. Kennedy, just like Martin Luther King, this is JFK was a message. That's really what it was all about. It was an assassination of someone who would not stop. JFK was murdered because of his desire to not go into Cuba. The CIA literally told him, you know, okay, we got this whole thing set up. We want you to go into Cuba. Russia's going to get irritated, and we'll be able to invade Cuba completely. That's the first thing we want you to do. And remember, Jack Kennedy was paid for by the elite. They put him into power. They thought this guy, this young guy, was going to toe the line, do what he was told, and that would be it. And he did the exact opposite. No, we're not going into Cuba. That's insane. That could start World War III. And they were shocked. They could not believe this. This is the president. You do what we tell you to do. Next thing, the guy goes, okay, well, now we're not going to go into Vietnam. I don't want to go into the Asian theater. And they tried to set it up for him. No, we've got this whole story about the Gulf of Tonkin. It's going to be great. We got this whole thing. It's going to swirl the American people up. And we're going to go into this Vietnam place. And we're going to make a lot of money. And you'll make money, too. And Jack Kennedy said, no, that's not our war. Our boys don't need to die for that. Point
well,
being,
don't for, don't,
the last
don't
thing
forget
the guy
about
did,
it.
He goes up to the Federal Reserve. Immediately went off to the Federal Reserve. Point is that his murder was a message. Don't do this was the message. And it was very clear. Don't
do what this guy's done. I agree with the message part. They killed him publicly in Dealey Plaza, and it was
That's the same
as Scalia's pillowcase over his face. There was a really clear message in both killings. With Scalia, we can get to anybody, anytime to promote our agendas. In this case, it was climate change, but it could have been anything. And you're absolutely right about this. I want to talk about a tactic of the media, if we can digress for a minute. And I'm going to throw out an observation, have you respond to it. To the country here, are you tired of Megyn Kelly? Yeah, okay, put your hands down. We're all tired of her. Self-righteous, arrogant, anything but a journalist. She's a yellow journalist. But what's interesting is she keeps trying to get Donald Trump engaged on Fox. She wants a debate. Of course, they're going to attack him and blindside him with more videos and more PowerPoint presentations that they won't do to the other candidates in a debate format. Be grossly unfair. And Trump has said, I've had enough of this. People know where I stand. And she has criticized him roundly for not wanting to come on with her. And so they issued a statement out of the Trump camp and basically said that she has shown herself to be a very biased journalist with a second-rate show, and they attacked her journalistic integrity. And how did Fox choose to respond? I almost fell out of my chair when I heard this. Donald Trump is a sexist because he dared to criticize someone who's a female. This is what they always do. You can't talk about Obama because he's black. You can't talk about Megyn Kelly because she's a woman. God help us when Hillary's in the White House. Can't talk about her because she's a lesbian. Can't talk about her because she's a woman. What do you think about all this, Josh?
I think it is something that I'm beginning to really see. And when I was doing my show last night, I'm doing my show prep, and I'm a huge researcher. I don't like to do stories or talk about it on the air unless I've got a ton of information that I can go to at any time, and I've done my homework on it, I guess. But to me, I see all of this, every bit of it, and I really noticed it last night when I was beginning to do my research on Trump and the campaign and all this insanity that has swirled along with it. And what I see is it's all one blatant attack against the First Amendment. That's what this is. This is a First Amendment story. The whole thing, from Megyn Kelly to not being able to talk about this person because they're African American. You can't talk about this person because he's gay. You can't talk about this person because they're a lesbian. You can't talk about and it's you can't talk about, and then you just fill in the blank. That's what Hillary Clinton wants. That's what the elite want. They want this America where America itself is, they coined the phrase free speech zone. America is a free speech zone. The First Amendment makes it a free speech zone. Well, they can't have that. Why? Because the world is much smaller now than it used to be. Via the internet, I can speak to China in 3 seconds on my telephone. I can talk to somebody in the completely other side of the world in 1 second. I can go online, use a satellite from space, and look down in a small town in Germany, and I can do that in the next 2 minutes. The world is much smaller now. So what they're trying to do as quick as they can is eliminate free speech, because free speech in and of itself is a problem for them. That's all Trump, that's what Trump has proven. He's proven that point. That it's his ability to talk, his ability to get a message across, that scares them more than anything, because in a world that's this small now, where communication is everything, now we got a guy that can communicate. What's he communicating? He's communicating that the government and the elite and the bankers and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are all doing X, Y, and Z to take your freedom away. And the message is, that's why it's gotten out so fast. That's why it's spread like wildfire. I think it's a First Amendment thing in and of itself.
Here's something that Trump needs to address, though. He fully admits he was one of them, and he was working against us for his own benefit. He doesn't deny that, and he'd be a fool to even try. What's his motivation for helping us now?
I don't want to sound like a, you know, somebody who's been on this guy's bandwagon for the entire time. I can't sound like that, because that's not who I am. I've questioned this person the entire time, as you have. You know, and you did your homework on him. I've done my homework on him. I tried forever to find out whether or not he was sincere. And so your question basically to me is it really sincerity? Because he's not accepting money, so it's not a profit thing. It's a power thing. Is he just that narcissistic that he wants all this power? And I don't know that. I don't know the guy. But I don't think that the audience that he's convincing, they're not the Obama voter. The audience he's convincing to come out of their homes and go after the establishment, and you've got to, you know, I'm the only one who's telling the truth about immigration, this and this. You've got to come out. You can't wait anymore. It's time to do this. I think that's why most people are, that's why his numbers have grown so quickly. But the people that he's trying to get this message to, they're not the Obama voter. They're not the Hillary Clinton voter. The voter that doesn't know one single issue. They're the people like you and I who do their homework. They're the people who care about their country, who have gone to the Tea Party meetings or got into this whole independent media thing. Learning about your government, learning how your rights are being stolen. This is his audience. That's a much different audience than what the liberals are going after. And so he's able to convince these people that he's sincere. Well, that takes more than rhetoric, Dave. That takes something else.
I know someone who is friends with the inner circle in the Trump campaign, and we were having a late night conversation earlier this last week, and I asked him, I said, you know, I've heard Trump speak in the past 10 years ago, and he was really articulate. He kind of mumbles and stumbles around a little bit and repeats himself frequently and speaks in very simplistic terms, you know, almost on a fourth grade level. And I should have answered my own question at this point, but I wasn't having a bright mental moment. And he says, Dave, think about it. Who is he trying to convince here? He doesn't need to convince you about how bad things are. He doesn't have to convince Steve Quayle how bad things are. He's got to convince people that are hearing these ideas for the first time that have been brainwashed by the mainstream media. And it's just like, well, how can I be so stupid not even to think of that? And you're absolutely right. In your last statement that you just made, he is speaking to the people in language they can understand. And I don't want to use the word dumbed down, because when I came to this movement, I was dumbed down. I didn't really know. You know, I'd listen to someone like Alex Jones, and I go, well, I agree with about 25% of what he says, but 75% Alex is kind of out there. Now, it's just kind of like, I get it, Alex. Everything you're saying, I pretty well get it. That's where we're at right now, Josh. And I think this is what Trump is, a masterful public speaker, because he's been able to change his professional persona to appeal to people who've never heard this before. He's using the sociological concept we call confirmation bias, where you repeat, 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 and then pretty soon people will accept it as the truth. And if it already is the truth, they accept it as the gospel truth. So I totally agree with your last statement. Trump, there's more to him than the message, and people can pick up on that.
And I think because of that, I think that's why it's now turning to, could a JFK moment await Donald Trump? And if that is the case, and I called you and asked you about this, and I know we're not going to talk about this full time, but as I said this last night on my show, that the election story is no longer in the election category anymore. You know, we categorize everything. We're going to talk about this for a little while, and we're going to read about this for a little while, and it's in this kind of history, or, you know, it's about the Civil War, this is supposed to be about the election. It's not. It's no longer. It bridges out into so many different areas that it's not an election story. It's not in the election category. This will take us into a very strange place, and, you know, the stuff that you and I have got to talk about here and going to talk about here in a little bit, it has a direct link to this. It's not just an election story anymore.
No, it's not. It's about the future of the country, and this will span a generation because the next president will appoint probably two, maybe three Supreme Court justices in America.
And there it
is. We could be fundamentally transformed forever, or we could begin a pushback that will at least delay the takeover, if not turn it back around. There are people that I'm colleagues with that say it's too late, all we can do is slow it down. Well, okay, if we can slow it down, let's slow it down. When I used to coach, I'd tell my teams, we're not going to lose by 20 if we can lose by 10. And that's an attitude I hope that America will adopt. What people don't seem to realize, though, Josh, that they're thinking right now in the present, and they need to. If I'm having trouble paying my mortgage payment next month, that's where my attention is. But this isn't just about the next month, the next 3 months, the next 3 years. This is
right.
About the next 20 years in this country.
Yeah.
And we need to look at, like, the children and grandchildren that some people have. Their future's screwed if you don't do something positively right now, proactively. This is a time for people to go to work. My friend Ernie Hancock has a term for people who listen and engage in some of the rhetoric on a minor level but don't work. He calls them slacktivists. After the term slacker and activist. I think it's an appropriate term that Ernie's come up with. And people right now, this is for your entire family's future. And if we just sit on our hands and take in the information and become receptacles of knowledge, but don't disseminate and don't act, we're going to get the government we deserve.
Well, you just look on the other side of the coin, and it's Hillary Clinton. And anyone with any type of political intelligence or even conspiratorial intelligence, which I, you know, never consider the word conspiracy to be a bad thing anymore. They do conspire to destroy freedom, and especially the freedom of the people. But this is a person. This is somebody who's gonna get their way regardless. You've got somebody who wants, you know, like I said, a nationwide free speech zones where you can't say something offensive about anyone. Doesn't matter if it's your best friend. If you do it in a certain area, you get arrested. If you talk about global warming not being real, she wants there to be some type of prosecutorial action that can happen. You know, all this can be looked up. These aren't, you know, this isn't made up. All this can be looked up. But to your comment about it being a 20-year deal, I read something one time. Zbigniew Brzezinski is the guy, one of the key, you know, leaders of the Council on Foreign Relations. And for those who, you know, don't understand the CFR, basically after World War II, the entire, well, not the entire world, but I would say the parts of the world that mattered to the elite at that time where they were making all their money, mainly Europe and America. After World War II was over, there was a meeting held in which the world was basically divided into these two sections. People like J.P. Morgan, these are the people and the how important it was. Those who met at this meeting represented, I think it was like 1/4 the wealth of the world. A lot of the same people who were there related to the people who were there during the creation of the Federal Reserve. And they you know, basically divided the country into these two sections. It was Europe and it was going to be America. And the Trilateral Commission to this day controls Europe. The Council on Foreign Relations pretty much controls America. And so if you, you know, if you don't know who these groups are, do your research on it. But one of the key members of the Council on Foreign Relations is Zbigniew Brzezinski. The guy's been a national security advisor to every president since Jack Kennedy. And this is somebody who literally made a statement that it's the awakening of the American people is truly a dangerous thing for the state. He used, you know, state as in capital S. That's how they view and this world that we live in, this world they want to create. It's the state versus the people, the state versus freedom, the state versus any type of adversary. It's so baseline Nazism, that's what blows me away about it. Every bit of it goes into history. And you know Nazi history as well as anybody. You know this is all. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, only technology changes. There's nothing new under the sun. All this was done in Nazi Germany. Every bit of it was done in the, you know, the greatest national socialist state in history. So Brzezinski once made a statement that we work 20 years down the road. That's how we work. That was his quote. We work 20 years down the road. Sorry, referring to the Council on Foreign Relations. So they're not working for today. They're working for 20 years down the road. That's what the Hillary Clinton thing is about. It's about controlling the next 20 years through putting who you want on the Supreme Court, a position that you don't lose until that person passes. It's a day.
Or is murdered.
Yeah, or is murdered in a message killing. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that. In fact, if you go back and you remember prior to the 08 election, that Hillary and Obama disappeared for a period of time at the same time.
They were
at the Bilderberg meeting, and I think it was there they decided we're going to have 16 years of Obama, you know, Obama 2.0, which is Hillary.
Yeah. Those two groups, basically, the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. That's why the Bilderberg group meets once a year. You have the whole year goes by, they plan the next year. At the Bilderberg group meeting, people from the CFR and the Trilateral Commission get together in this one place, in this one meeting, which is the Bilderberg meeting, and they plan the next year. And this was their plan for Obama and Hillary.
Unbelievable. A non-citizen and a murderer and treason.
Yeah.
And if this is your first time listening and you're someone who is ordinarily this time tuned into Fox and CNN, let me just say this. If you go to thecommonsenseshow.com, which is our flagship website for this show, and if you go to the search engine located on the right-hand side towards the top, and if you put in Hillary Clinton and Uranium One, you will see that she and the BLM are behind kicking ranchers off their land or limiting access to good portions of their land so they can go on and extract precious metals. And one of the precious metals, one of the things that they're extracting, is uranium. And it's a Canadian front company, Uranium One, but it's really controlled by the Russians. That money in turn, that product in turn goes to Russia, to Putin. So we're supplying the Russians with uranium that they could use to use in nuclear weapons to attack us. And then that money goes to Hillary's offshore account, the Clinton Foundation, which has an offshore aspect to it and is helping to support her run for the presidency. But that's not all, and there's more. Her husband is being paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for speeches around the world, and guess who's underwriting a lot of it? The Russians, through third-party bank accounts. And if you put in Hillary Clinton and Uranium One, you will see the original source of this story was not Dave Hodges and the Common Sense Show. I want to give credit where credit's due. The original source of this story was the New York Times in April of 2015. And there was no follow-up. There were no comments made to the article that was online. The censors got there and shut it down pretty quickly. I'm actually surprised they didn't remove it. You can still find it today, and I linked to it in my article. This is who is preparing to take over. Someone who has sold weapons-grade uranium to our enemies to use against us. And, Josh, I'm sure from history you remember Ethel Rosenberg, the wife of the husband-wife team that were executed in the 1950s for selling nuclear secrets to the Russians. That's what I think should happen to Hillary Clinton. She should be brought up on charges. She should be tried, and if she's guilty, she should receive the same sentence as Ethel Rosenberg.
Well, you know, a lot of people have said the same thing about Ed Snowden, that Ed Snowden should be brought back here, and he should be tried for treason, and he should be put to death. I don't see a connection between the two. I see what Hillary Clinton has done. Not, you know, you mentioned it earlier, man. This is a woman who is a murderer. I mean, she's the string of bodies that are piled up behind Hillary Clinton. I know it's over 40 people because I have a list of it in my paperwork, in my notes. I have an entire list of the amount of people who have died conveniently at a time when they were threatening either Bill or Hillary. These are two people who are incredibly backed by these organizations that run everything. So why wouldn't they be able to have total power? A lot of the stuff that you mentioned earlier about the media and the way that the media is moving forward and doing whatever they want to do regardless of what we think. I found a story the other day, and I can use this to kind of segue into something else you were asking me about earlier. But I found a story the other day, and this blew my mind. I don't know if I brought it up to you before off the air, but it's a story out of Germany. And it was just kind of like an innocent story that I happened to come across. I was doing some research on how new billboards can track the American people as they travel. They've come out with these new billboards that will gather information on you as you travel through your GPS in your car, and this information will be used to help advertisers come up with better ways to create commercials, better ways to sell things to you. And that's what it was all about, using GPS to do this and using billboards to track you. And I got stuck in that story for a minute.
More than...
Had a seizure for a second. The more that I began to read about it, I found this story out of Germany, and the story out of Germany was that they've come up with a new technology that will allow them to put the ad, the commercial, whatever they want it to be, whatever the message is, they allow them to put it directly into your mind, so they bypass your ability to fast forward a commercial with TiVo, your ability to just say, I don't want to listen to this. They bypass that altogether. No need for that. That whole free will thing, no need for that. It was based on an idea, and they made it. They designed it. It's out there. Anybody can find this story. Basically, what this machine does, what its power is you get on a train, you get on a subway, you're tired, you've been at work all day, whatever. You get on a subway on your way home in Germany. You lay your head up against the window the same as everybody else does. It trains knock you out. They narcotize you. They make you fall asleep. So that's what people do. They just rest their head over on the window and they go to sleep. Well, this ad company came up with this notion. What if we could put the commercial directly into their head? Wouldn't they put their head on the window to go to sleep? It's called brain conductivity research. And you basically lay your head up against the window, and the window senses that your skull is up against it. I'm not kidding. Easy to find. Look it up. As you're laying your head up against there, all of a sudden, a message comes into your mind. You hear it.
Katie, wow. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I sure did. I was like, okay, mid-sentence. At least they didn't have the courtesy to let him finish a word.
Oh, my God. Katie, let's tell the story when you and I talk on the phone. It's gotten to the humorous point. Katie's
laughter.
On my phone, I get, when Katie and I hit a sensitive topic, okay, like assassination of Donald Trump.
Wow.
Thank you, Todd. Getting that off there. Oh, boy. We're keeping our board up, our producer busy tonight. Yeah, let's try to get Josh back on.
Well, and if it wasn't them and it was Josh, see how they've conditioned us. We kind of laugh it off now. We don't know.
Yeah, well, let me finish that story. So anyway, when Katie and I are talking about something sensitive, we get this. Katie, you describe the sound. I can't describe it.
Well, I could imitate it, but I would lose all credibility. But it actually sounds like a goose being strangled. How's that?
Yeah. I think that's sort of good.
It's a long, drawn-out, and you know that it's probably lasts 2 or 3 seconds, and they're honing in on the conversation. And we have to stop because it's loud and it pierces your ears, and then you continue on.
It's absolutely amazing. So, yeah, what Josh was getting into is something that he's been talking to me about. He knows I've written a lot on mind control starting back in the early days of Jose Delgado back in the 1960s. And if you don't know who that is and you're tuning in for the first or second time, just go to YouTube and put in Jose Delgado and look at what we could do in the 1960s. Absolutely phenomenal stuff. And imagine where that brain control is now. And they're calling it now, this process is referred to as brain activity mapping. And I don't have a website at my disposal right now that I can share with you that information. Hopefully we'll get Josh back on and he'll be able to do just that. But, so Katie and I...
He's got me back on with you, Dave. I'm back on with you.
Okay, all right, that's good. This is
magic. It's magic. It's all magic.
Listen, our audience is used to it. They're very patient with us. They know that first time we tried to interview Ammon Bundy, they took down the entire satellite apparatus, so as well as the Listen Live and so forth. So, in all the excitement, I almost forgot the cliffhanger. Where did you leave us, Josh?
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. Basically, this company came out with this window that puts these commercials into your head. So their idea is you lay your head on the window and all of a sudden you begin to hear a message, whatever the commercial is, playing in your head. And if you basically, it bypasses the auditory, the auditory senses in your brain, your ear, whatever, you don't have the ability to hear it through your ear. You hear it through your head. And that's the creepiest part about it, is that obviously it's a commercial, so it's being read by some professional voiceover guy. The weirdest part to me was that, and this is out there right now, it's being used right now in Germany, and the weirdest part to me was that when I concentrate or when I think to myself, when I'm just sitting there alone watching television, and you talk to yourself in your head all the time, your inner monologue. Well, when I'm doing that, that's my voice. I control that voice. How do you think these people feel when they put their head on a window and all of a sudden someone else's voice, you've never heard anybody else's voice coming from that inner monologue place? Now think about that. All of a sudden, someone else's voice, you hear people's voices every day, but that comes through your ear. This comes from the center of your skull, and it's some guy trying to sell you Tide, or, you know, trying to sell you a new waffle. What? And basically what happens is you take your head off the window, and I'm guessing, freak out, think you're becoming schizophrenic, and if you try, okay, I didn't hear that. Because when you take your head out the window, the voice stops. So it's back to just you. And so you've got to convince yourself that you look around to everybody else, and none of them know what happened, and so you kind of ease your head back on that window. I'm going to go back to sleep. That didn't happen. I'm not crazy. All of a sudden, you put your head on that window, and bam, picks up where it left off, and the guy's telling you that you need to buy a new Chevy. Whoa, oh, wow. I can't. And you know, it can be any message, I guess, was one of the key points for me, Dave. It doesn't have to be about buy this, buy that. It can be anything. And now take that. People think mind control. I've heard you talk about mind control before on the show. And you know, when people hear those two words together, they immediately think science fiction. They immediately think, oh, this is one of those conspiracy shows. No, this is real science that just an ad company came up with. Think what DARPA can do, Dave.
Yeah, but this, before you leave that thought, let me just share with you, before you go to DARPA, let's not leave this unfinished here. And I know a little bit about the technology you're talking about, and interestingly enough, the Germans are violating the European Union laws on this. Nick Begich, B-E-G-I-C-H, son of the former... Speaker of the House, Mick Begich, did pioneer work on this back in the 1990s. He wrote a book called Angels Don't Play This Harp, H-A-A-R-P, named after Project Harp. And in 1997, because of Nick's stellar documentation, he was invited to the European Parliament as the EU was getting started, and he demonstrated voice-to-skull technology. He could make voices appear in someone's head, and as a result, the European Parliament passed legislation against the practice of doing so. So now you're telling me these Germans are doing this on trains and using as the conductant the train's window that people are laying their heads on, they're violating European Parliament law, which I guess we shouldn't be surprised. That technology, I'm going backwards in my mind here. Nick demonstrated this in 1997, so this technology is now well over 20 years old. And Bernard Eastman of Eastman Kodak was the primary developer of it. He holds all the patents, and I'm not plugging Nick's book for profit here, but it's really a good book. Angels Don't Play This Harp. And if I could remember Nick's website, I'd give it to you. Nick Begich, B-E-G-I-C-H. He's got so much documentation. But Google Nick Begich and you can go there. The book's like $10, folks, and you're gonna have a who's who and who's what and what they can do with mind control techniques. Okay, Josh, let's go ahead and leave that topic. What was next?
You and I were talking earlier and hitting the mind control thing, or I guess using that as a catalyst. I had found this project that I brought up to you, and you brought it up a minute ago, the Brain Activity Map Project. And I've done the research on this. I'd never heard of it. And when I first found it, I thought, when I found the story initially, I thought to myself, this has got to be something from Conspiracy Joe's newsletter. It can't be from, you know, the New York Times or the Boston Globe or whatever. Nobody in the mainstream would have put something like this out. And that, it was actually a Boston Globe article that I found. And that gave me the initial information on the Brain Activity Map Project. They call it the BAM Project. I think they could have come up with a better name. But the BAM Project is basically a 10-year study of the human brain as a way to map the human brain. Obama even talked about it during his State of the Union address. He said, he mentioned the Brain Activity Map Project, mentioned that they were going to be working with the National Institute of Science. It was going to be so good for Alzheimer's research, and this is where we need to put all of our money and our time and the best efforts of America, blah, blah, blah. And it the way that they sold it was, this is all about Alzheimer's research and curing that. This is all about curing Parkinson's disease and other mental disorders and diseases so many people suffer from. And they play on that, not to make a pun, but they play on that harp string. And they, you know, try to, we're going to use emotion as a way to get...
Let's hold that right there, Josh. We're going into our top of the hour break.
Oh, no.
Let's come back and pick it right up there. We'll be back in 2 and 2. See you in hour number 2.